Go Bible and leave your contact info for the staff to reach out to you. Also, Conservative Theological University is offering free your first introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Rededicate America 250, the rally that was held in D.C. yesterday. Multiple speakers, multiple prayers, references to Jesus Christ, references to the Bible, referencing God. I'm thankful for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm grateful that God's placed on the heart of President Trump to display in words and in prayers our dependence upon God and God's Word, the Bible, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe today America is at a turning point. I believe today America needs to repent, turn back to God. Rededication then afterwards of our nation to the motto, "In God We Trust." Critics condemn this for honoring God and honoring the Bible and honoring Jesus Christ. The critics have jumped on it with all 4 feet and criticizing America, criticizing President Trump, and undermining what was attempted with the rally of 9 hours in D.C. yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, critics condemned this God-honoring event by arguing that it crossed the line, separation of church and state. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I would dare anybody to take the Constitution, the four corners of the page, show me any place on that page that there's a separation of church and state, any place in there. It doesn't exist. That was as a result of the Danbury Baptist Organization Association writing a letter wanting to make sure that the government would not try to enforce a state religion or a state denomination, and got back a guarantee that there would be a wall of separation of church and state, that the state would not sponsor a religion, would not call individuals to one denomination, as in the Church of England. That was the bottom line. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted that we can look back on yesterday, talk about what happened, and analyze where we are, and understand that our foundation. And the Bible says in Psalms 11:3, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And our foundation is under attack. And the foundation of America goes back to our founding fathers, the founding documents, and the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book, as I've said so many times on this broadcast. I'm looking at an article that says, critics accuse the event of being intentionally exclusive. Listen to this brief paragraph. 14 of the 15 faith leaders who were to participate in the event are Christian, including 7 evangelical leaders, 2 Catholics, Orthodox, one Orthodox Jewish rabbi, was the only non-Christian religious leader to participate. Some critics, historians, and religious groups have targeted the event over this. The Interfaith Alliance is suing Trump, the Trump administration, and called Rededicate 250 intentionally exclusive. Now, ladies and gentlemen, surprise, surprise, surprise. We go back to our founding documents, go back to our founding fathers, and they exclusively talked about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. They exclusively talked about that. Listen, I think one of the errors, if I can be bold enough to say this, I think one of the errors in our Constitution is referring to it as true religion. Our founding fathers knew that true religion is Christianity, not Mormonism, not Jehovah's Witness, any other ism or schism, certainly not what we're seeing today that's being brought into America by the so-called religion of Islam. Islam is not a religion. Islam is a way of life. Islam is a mandate for control, submission. But ladies and gentlemen, we have those today in the Socialist Marxist Democrat Party that somehow, some way, believe that as Americans, we need to embrace every religion. And if there's a rally for Christians, we need to have the Muslims present. If there's a rally for the representing the founding of America from the those that disbelieve anything about our founding fathers and founding documents, we need to appease them by having every other ism and schism recognized in it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I find it, without having to mention it, but some are upset because President Trump, Vice President Vance, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Secretary of State, with that Marco Rubio, that had the tenacity to openly praise the Lord Jesus, praise the Bible, the Word of God, and God Himself. I was enthralled by it. I was absolutely happy. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that I agree with all of their theological persuasions or denominational dogma, but I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, when we see speeches like Mike Johnson and Marco Rubio and Vice President Vance and what they said, I believe that should be a word of encouragement to us. I'm looking at an article. Pete Hegseth invoked George Washington, the nation's first president. Let us pray as he did, Hegseth said. Let us pray without ceasing, Hegseth said. Let us pray for our nation on bended knee. And Mike Johnson said in his led in his prayer of rededication, which framed America's founding as guided by divine providence. That's the God of the Bible. And Mike Johnson was bold enough, brave enough to do that. And yet we have those that are conflicted in their minds. For example, one of the reports out of USA Today, can't expect any different, reported that the Department of Interior allocated $100 million in taxpayer funds for the Freedom 250, though the amount used for the Rededicate 250 has not been fully disclosed yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful. Here's part of Mike Johnson's prayer. He led the crowd in prayer, warned against sinister ideologies. Try to get it right. During Johnson's prayer, he said the United States was built on biblical principles. All men are created equal and free. He cited the Declaration of Independence and the country's early founders and highlighted key moments in American history. Our rights do not derive he said, listen, our rights do not derive from the government. They come from you, God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to be thankful that we have an element of salt and light in society today. I believe Greg's on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, as you discuss this subject, this rededication, in going to our foundation, and it's through our foundational documents, we find God's hand of providence in the creation of America, the formation of America, the preservation of America. And I would love to play right at 5 minutes of Charlie Kirk addressing this issue.
All right.
Shall I?
Yes.
Here we go. Hopefully this will play well.
Yesterday by a couple of my friends that our country was not founded on Christian principles. I want to see how an argument that you guys can give me to combat that.
Whoever said that didn't hear whatever time was.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies, and you need to read the state constitutions before anything else. 9 out of 13 of the original states required you to be a Bible-believing Christian to serve in government. At the time of the founding, you could even in actually 13 out of 13 required a declaration of faith. 9 out of 13 required you to be a Protestant, except Maryland, which was Catholic, which still required a declaration of faith. And almost every single one of the original state constitutions, Pennsylvania included, they had "I profess Lord in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior" in the original state constitutions. So you remember, we're a collection of states before that. Secondly, 55 out of 56 of the original signers of the Declaration were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. You asked about common law. So common law is inherited from Blackstone, who was Christian. That common law is an outgrowth of the scriptures. So let's go to three principles of common law: presumption of innocence, due process, and jury of your peers. All three are biblical principles. So, and all wrapped into the ultimate biblical principle that you shall not favor justice if you are rich or poor, which is in Leviticus 19, right before the most famous part of Leviticus 19, which is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But before that is that in the administration of justice, you shall not favor the rich or the poor, which is the idea of blind justice. We get that in the West, which is incorporated also in the New Testament ideal. Neither slave nor Greek nor Jew, you're all one in Jesus Christ, which we have the idea of human equality. These are all biblical ideas. They're not Enlightenment ideas, which is they kind of get conflated at the time. But more importantly than that, they say that God was only mentioned 4 times in the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's a big deal, okay? Laws of nature and nature's God. The last paragraph of the Declaration reads as a prayer. It says, we appeal to the supreme judge of the universe. Who is the judge of the universe? Jesus Christ. It says in Revelation that Jesus will judge the earth on his throne. So in the Declaration, they were praying to Christ our Lord as a prayer very specifically. Thirdly, as I said on stage yesterday, Deuteronomy was by far the most quoted book, religious or non-religious, in the time of the founding when they were putting together the Constitution, more than John Locke, more than Montesquieu, more than Blackstone. So the book of Deuteronomy, which talked about laws, customs, traditions, it was Moses' farewell address as he's, you know, about to say goodbye, say, hey, good luck in Canaan, guys. Here's how you should set up your form of government. But finally, and most importantly, let's look at actually what the founders said. John Adams famously said the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. The body politic of America was so Christian and was so Protestant that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. One of the reasons we're living through a constitutional crisis is that we no longer have a Christian nation. We have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. So you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population. Mm-hmm. So that's just a surface level belief. So then they'll go to the First Amendment, which has two parts of the First Amendment which get conflated. First of all, separation of church and state is not in the U.S. Constitution. That is a single letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote in 1807 to the Danbury Baptist Convention in Massachusetts, assuring them that the government would not come after the church. Okay, which is the opposite of what they would say. However, that was then resurrected by the Warren Court and the Burger Court in the 60s, where they said, hey, you know, all of a sudden we're now going to make this as if it's the Constitution. It does say in the Constitution two things, which is the Establishment Clause and the Free Expression Clause. The Establishment Clause is that Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. What they were most worried about was a Presbyterian or a Anglican or a Quaker type religion taking over the federal government. Instead, it was that there is not going to be a state-run religion or a state-run government. Did you know that one of the first acts of Congress was taxpayer-funded Bible printing and distribution? Did you know that there were church services held in the Supreme Court building as late as the Jackson presidency in the 1820s? But going back to this idea of separation of church and state, and again, I could riff on this ad nauseum because it's just so ridiculous, right? Is that it's not biblical because... It's not constitutional because you go a layer deeper. People that even say that, do you believe in separation of morality and state? Nobody does. So all laws are a reflection of morality, and all morality comes from somewhere. There is no such thing as neutral morality.
And we believe what the founders believe, because they put it in the halls of Congress, they put it in the Supreme Court, and they put it all throughout the country, which is that the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is the core morality of how a society and a civilization should exist, right? The Ten Commandments of every person. And finally, and this is the kicker, if the founding fathers were not Bible-believing church-saying Christians, why did they put Leviticus on the Liberty Bell? Not John, not Psalms, not Proverbs, not Genesis, Leviticus. Most Americans can't spell Leviticus. Leviticus 25:19, proclaim liberty throughout the land of which you are in. It is one of the most sinister, most unsubstantiated lies that does not come up against any sort of academic scrutiny, this idea that founding fathers were a bunch of enlightenment common law deists. The reason they hate it is because the reason they must say this is that if we actually go back to our Christian roots and we go back to where we once were, it's America's best hope for revival and for a great future. Do you want to add to that? Sorry,
Isn't that awesome?
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Take a moment. Break that down, as the media likes to call it, for our listeners today. What take do you have on it? What does it say? Should it say to us today in relationship to looking back in the rearview mirror as to what took place yesterday in the Rededicate America 250? What are your thoughts?
I have just the synopsis point of occupy till I come. Now, you know, that's what the master said to his servants, occupy till I come. That's what Jesus would have for us today, occupy till he comes. I know, you know, that term occupy has been adopted by the left, you know, the Occupy Wall Street, occupy this, that, and the other thing. It's all completely ridiculous, except for under the light of the scripture that I believe challenges the believer. Whatever space you're in, I mean, if you're a clerk at Walmart, or if you're a judge with a black robe on, if you're a police officer, if you're a business person, if you're a preacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a farmer, occupy that space for the Lord till he comes. Share the truth and love until he comes. And by the way, folks, he's coming quickly. And know, as believers, we are absolutely blessed to live in the freest, most blessed country on the face of the earth, right here in America. For all of our problems, for all of our scars, for all of our faults, we're a blessed people in a blessed nation, and we should return thanks to the Lord every single day in acknowledgement of that blessing.
Absolutely. Greg, a couple of questions while we have you. How should Christians respond to the media and to the Democrat idea that it was simply pointing out and building up Christian nationalism? That is today being used as some kind of disdaining badge. I tell people I'm a Christian nationalist. Don't apologize for it. Number one, I'm a Christian. I love God, love the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. I love the flag, the red, white, and blue, and am thankful to be an American. We'll stand for the flag, stand for the truth of where we stand. But for those that are arguing and remonstrating against that yesterday on the basis that they didn't have really a good broad spectrum, they didn't have Islamic leaders there. They just had one Jewish leader, two Catholic leaders, and it should have been more broadly spread if it's really going to be trying to build America, not to separate us. How do you respond to that, Greg?
We are an open society. We're a free society. We're a just society because we are founded on Christian principles. There are 56 nations on earth dominated by Islam. Go to any one of those nations and see if they open with welcome arms a Christian. You go to places like, I think it's Dubai, that now Tucker's running his mouth about so much and talking about the hundreds of thousands of Christians that live as servants and slaves in that country and cannot share their faith. Understand, folks, in this Christian culture, we say you can worship however you so choose, but you don't you don't come into this nation and then squelch the Christian. That's not constitutional. That is not within the Bill of Rights. It is literally completely the opposite. You look at the words, even the word, keep in mind, the very first words in the very First Amendment are, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So twice it says in that one sentence, you don't mess with religion. Now, religion, understand, was clearly defined by Noah Webster in 1828. Three definitions clearly identify Christianity. A fourth definition says if you include Confucianism, Buddhism, Mohammedism, which is what they called it in the day, then you must distinguish between true religion and false religion. George Washington spoke of Christianity and defined it as true religion. So understand, folks, we've changed the language, and that's a satanic plot, changing the language. He tried to redefine the terms all the way back in the Garden of Eden, and he's been trying it ever since. If you redefine the language, redefine the terms, you confuse the people. And by the way, God's word is very clear. God is not the author of confusion, and we know who is. The reality is we are founded as a nation upon Christian principles, and that's why we are free, that's why we are fair, that's why we are blessed as a nation. When we choose to deny God, thrust God out of the public square, we cannot also expect to continue to see his blessings on our nation.
Amen. One of the things that is a couplet to what you just said, I'm looking at part of the speech and prayer from Marco Rubio, Secretary of State. I'll read this and then get your response. It ties into what you just said. Secretary of State Marco Rubio talked about the faith of American revolutionists and traced the role of Christian faith through the expansion west, driven in part by missionaries who aimed to spread the gospel. Samuel Morris' invention of the telegraph and his first words on it from the Bible, Book of Numbers, What Hath God Wrought? All the way, the astronauts in the 20th century who cited scripture to describe their faith as they looked at Earth. Our nation, Marco Rubio said, our nation more than any other was shaped by the idea that our Christian faith brought freedom. This is who we are. This is who we've always been, end quote, Marco Rubio. I don't know about others, but I'm thankful to see people like Pete Hegseth and Marco Rubio, and Vice President Vance. Now, I would perhaps have questions for them in relationship to their denominational dogma, but I am thankful that we have men of renown that will take a stand and buttress and support that which is biblical for our nation. Tim Scott also spoke. Tim Scott of South Carolina, I'm quoting from this writer, the only black representative in the Senate, delivered a rousing speech focused on his personal faith and religious intersection with critical moments in American history. From Civil War to World War II to the landing on the moon, Americans have looked to God for guidance, for peace, and for strength in America. I'm thankful for that. We need more in our government today, local, state, and national. Right here in Duval County, Jacksonville, Florida, if you go to a city council meeting, you are supposed to, if there's any prayer offered, any scripture, anything of that nature, you can't talk about it in Jesus' name. It is an anathema. And yet they have had on occasions where Islamic imams would come and pray in Arabic before the city council, not knowing what they were saying at the time. And some have been interpreted in the past that they were asking Allah to curse the city, and yet it was allowed, and yet you can't pray in Jesus' name. I'm thankful that we have the open worship, praise, honor, and prayers for Jesus Christ, the name of Christ. Mike Johnson perhaps stands out to me more than all of the others. I was thankful for his words and for what he said in relationship to that. In fact, I'll finish my statement, get you to respond. Some of the pastors that were attendees said, we are in a spiritual war. One said, today, friends, we're in a spiritual war. This is a battle in our day between good and evil, between right and wrong, between truth and lies, between light and darkness. This battle is for the very soul of America, please know this, our hope is not lost, he told the crowd as he spoke. How do you respond, and what do you say to our listeners, Greg?
Well, you know, I have for a long time come to the conclusion that our problem in America doesn't begin in the street, it doesn't begin in the classroom, it doesn't begin in the courtroom. Our problem begins in the pulpit in America. Pulpits across America have adopted this woke ideology, many of them. We have denominations splitting right down the middle today over woke ideology. They've twisted and perverted the scriptures so very much that it no longer looks like Jesus. It no longer looks like the truth and love. It no longer has a call to holiness and faithfulness. But let me tell you something. If you step back in time, and I'm holding in my right hand a book, the title is The Pulpit of the American Revolution. Mm-hmm. There was a time when pastors had a backbone. There was a time where they stood and spoke and knew that it may cost them their life. There was a time where they would speak truth to power, the truth of the Word of God to the culture and to the king. And that time must return again, otherwise we will lose this once God-blessed country. And I understand that it is not, again, it is not the left with which I have a problem, or the scripture has a problem. It is the lack of faithfulness oftentimes in the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And we know the scripture says in Ephesians 6:12 that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I would challenge every believer today, if you teach a Sunday school class, if you have a Bible study fellowship, if you're a pastor of a church, and I don't care if it has two members or 20,000 members, speak the truth of the Word of God without fear and without favor. Give the whole gospel, not just the love and the grace gospel, but the call to holiness gospel, the call to repentance gospel, the blood of Jesus Christ gospel. Stand and speak the truth now while there is still time. This nation and this world is very, very, has very few days left. Speak the truth today, and do so in love, so that folks might come to know him in these last days, in these last weeks, in these last months, if we're even given that.
Absolutely. Greg, one final question. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is Greg, one of our four sons, residing up in the, what is it, the southern tip of heaven, northeast.
Yes, sir.
Greg, this one other article. The Christianity-focused gathering comes as some historians and religious groups are accusing Trump of promoting Christian nationalism rather than religious freedom, and meaninglessly rewriting the story of the nation's founding. Christian nationalism is based on the belief that the United States is a Christian nation. We've got about a minute. Take this 1 minute. Should we embrace being called Christian nationalist? What are your words?
Well, I've written about it on my Facebook page. By the way, folks, I posted on my Facebook page today, yet again, that Charlie Kirk talk. I challenge you to go look at it, share it with other folks. Christian nationalism is a term that's literally been cooked up. It's a pejorative in order to drive Christians out of the public square, out of government, out of politics, out of the public discourse. You as a believer, if you're patriotic, if you thank God for America, well, they call you a Christian nationalist. Again, that is just a twisting, a perversion, and Wikipedia is right on board with this garbage, with this rubbish. Every leftist in America wants believers to abandon the field and give it to them. Again, this goes back to my initial point. The scripture says to occupy till I come. We Amen. Have to occupy this space for Jesus Christ until he comes.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today.